I'm Susan Young. I'm chair of the Pacifica National Board. This is the July 18th, 2024 regular meeting of the Pacifica National Board, a teleconference meeting. Beginning at, let's see what time we are now, 8:34 Eastern Standard Time. Would the secretary please take the roll?
Gotcha. Irene Adams.
Present.
Thank you, Irene. Teresa Allen.
Present.
Thank you, Teresa. Kaja Brown.
Teresa.
I'll keep going. Donna Carter.
Present.
Thank you, Donna. Paul DiRienzo.
Here.
I see him.
Yep, I heard him. Thank you, Paul. Jim Dingaman.
Here.
Thank you, Jim. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. Fred Dodsworth.
I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Jan Goodman. Heather Gray. Evalia Jones. Zach Caldvier.
Here.
Thank you, Zach. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Thank you, Darlene. Ron Pinchback sent a note that he was requesting excused absence. So next is Myla Reason.
I'm here.
Thank you, Myla. Sean Rhodes.
I'm here.
Thank you, Sean. Serene Roberts also sent an email saying that she would be quite late and or possibly completely absent. And so she requested an excused absence. And so I will go next to Minerva Sanders.
Present.
Thank you, Minerva. Harvey Wasserman. I don't see Harvey. Egberto Willis.
Present.
Thank you, Egberto. Well, let me go back up to the top and see if people have joined. Kaja Brown. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. Jan Goodman. Heather Gray. Avalia Jones.
Present.
Thank you, Avalia.
Thank you.
Harvey Wasserman. All right, let me go to, Susan Young.
Madam Chair, what am I, chopped liver?
No, I just was like, you know, checking on the other people first. Susan Young?
Yes, here.
Thank you. Let me catch the other people. Stephanie Wells?
Here.
Thank you, Stephanie. Arthur Schwartz, although I don't expect him this early. Julie Hewitt, I am here. And we actually won't have Aki Tanaka this evening either. Madam Chair, you have 14 present, and that constitutes quorum.
Thank you very much. We have done the call to order, roll call by secretary. Report out the executive session from the executive session of June 20th. The PNB met in closed session to hear reports from the ED and GC General Counsel on confidential legal, personnel, and financial matters. The open session portion of the ED's report delivered in closed session, which the ED was unable to deliver in open session, will be shared with directors to share with their fellow delegates. The PNB also discussed matters related to corrected information related to the upcoming Pacifica delegate elections, which the ED will communicate to the NES. Excused absences. First, may I, recognize more people who've arrived?
Yeah, it looks like Vanessa Dixon Briggs is here now. Is that right, Vanessa?
Yes.
Thank you. Did anyone else join since I called roll? Okay. So the people who requested excused absences were Ron Pinchback and Serene Roberts.
Is there any objection to recognizing their excused absences? Hearing none. Those are recognized. Those are accepted. Identified timekeepers. We've had folks who have graciously offered in the past. I was hoping that perhaps Darlene Pagano, would you be willing to be timekeeper for people? It would be great if you spoke up.
I as soon as my cursor decides to work, that's a problem tonight. Yes, I will.
Thank you very much. And Irene, you have made a generous offer to be timekeeper over time. Will you be willing to be timekeeper for topics?
Sure.
Excellent. Okay. Agenda approval for the open, for the portion of the agenda that's in open session. I will read it. Agenda approval, 5 minutes. Approve open session minutes, 5 minutes. Motion from Zach Culver on meeting disruptions. See appendix, 15 minutes. ED report and Q&A, 30 minutes. Bylaws amendments, see appendix, 20 minutes. And there's a motion from Teresa Allen pertaining to that and a motion on the bylaws amendment itself. Old business, see appendix, motion from Jim Dingman on programming committee, motion from Jim Dingman on strategic planning committee, motion from Jim Dingman on technology task force, motion from Serene Roberts on executive sessions, motion from Serene Roberts on accurate records, motion from Jim Dingman on independent investigation of state of the archives, motion from Serene Roberts on audit committee, motion from Serene Roberts on director's access, motion from Serene Roberts on meeting rosters, motion from Paul DiRienzo on Gaza, motion from Serene Roberts to stand up the elections committee and convert it to a standing committee, motion from Serene Roberts regarding subcarrier income. New business. There is a motion from Jim Dingman pertaining to Project 2025. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Fred, is there a second? Yes. Jim, hang on.
You have a point. What I'd like to know is there was another motion I had made about KPFA's building, about a committee to look into the sale of KPFA's building in order to raise money for the Pacifica Foundation. Is that still there?
I don't recall that motion, Paul.
All right. I'll check it out. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't have a record of it either. Sorry.
Okay.
I second the motion to.
Right. Okay. It was moved by Fred. It was seconded by Myla. Yes. Jim, you've got your hand up.
Yes. I put in a motion about Project 2025, which is a timely motion that needs to be dealt with as soon as possible, not put into new business, which we'll never get to. And I want to move that up in the order because that is a objective threat to Pacifica.
So, Jim, you are making a motion to amend the agenda.
Correct.
To place that, take that item out of new business and put it where on the agenda?
Well, I think it's of such importance that it should proceed discussions of disciplining people because it's talking about eliminating Pacifica.
So you would put it as number four. So
correct.
Your motion to amend the agenda is to put your Project 2025 motion, take it out of new business and put it as item number four. Is there a second?
Vanessa seconds.
Okay, so we will take a vote. Madam Secretary, would you be kind to call the roll? If you vote yes, you are voting to support putting the Project 2025 motion as number four. If you vote no, we leave the agenda as it was provided.
Susan, can I explain why that's important quickly to the audience?
We know, Jim, all of us know what Project 2025 is.
That's true.
We're going to go ahead on the vote. Jim, I haven't recognized you to speak to the motion. I've recognized you to make the motion to amend the agenda. That's what we're doing right now. Please, Madam Secretary, take the vote.
Irene Adams.
Same.
Okay. Teresa Allen.
What did Irene say?
Irene abstained.
Abstain. Okay. I say no.
All right. Teresa's a no. Todger Brown, not here yet. Donna Carter.
Yes.
Don is a yes. Paul DiRienzo?
Do not record any vote for me. I'm not going to participate because of the way you handled Jim.
Okay. DNR. Jim Dingaman?
Yes.
Jim's a yes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Yes.
Vanessa's a yes. Fred Dodsworth?
No.
Fred's a no. Jan Goodman? Not here yet. Heather Gray?
Jan's here, but she just needs to unmute.
Oh, sorry. Let me keep going and I'll come back around. Heather Gray? She not here yet. Avalia Jones?
No.
Avalia's a no. Zach Caldvier?
No.
Zach's a no. Darlene Pagano?
No.
Darlene's a no. Myla Reason?
No.
Myla's a no. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Sean is a yes. Minerva Sanders?
I'm sorry, no.
Minerva's a no. Harvey Wasserman?
No.
And I'm also marking Harvey present. Egberto Willis?
No.
Egberto's a no. Let me go back and see Kaj Brown here. Jan Goodman? Jan, can you unmute and vote? All right, I'll keep going. Heather's not here. So that's everyone, because I didn't have any passes. There are four yes votes, and there are nine no votes and one abstention. So the motion fails.
Right. Is there any objection to the
I'm on.
Sorry. Say that again.
Jan Goodman is here, but I can't.
Oh, hold on. Excuse me for the interruption. I've got Jan on the phone. For some reason, she's having trouble unmuting, but she can speak through my phone.
Hello, everyone. This is Jan Goodman. I am here. So it seems that you don't need my vote for this one, but I'm going to maybe I'll call in.
You know what? They're hearing you now through the Zoom.
OK. All right. So I don't know how I did, but
you can go. Well, all right. So is there any objection to proceeding with the agenda as we've presented it and voted on it? Hearing none, will proceed. So the first agenda item is approval of open session minutes. Is there any objection to approving the open session minutes?
Madam Chair, I'm not sure there are minutes. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Apologies, all. Okay, so that will be next meeting for prior meeting minutes. Yep. Next up is motion from Zach Caldvier on meeting disruptions. I will read the motion. It's item number 4. Whereas disruptions are happening in Pacifica National Board meetings and Pacifica committee meetings to the degree that the chair is unable to restore or maintain order and the business of the meeting cannot be conducted. And whereas Robert's Rules of Order, 12th edition, provides sample rules for electronic meetings in an appendix that a board may find helpful to adopt, including page 640, number 6, enforced disconnections, providing that the chair may cause or direct the disconnection or muting of a member's connection if it is causing undue interference with the meeting. The chair's decision to do so, which is subject to an undebatable appeal that can be made by any member, shall be announced during the meeting and recorded in the minutes. Therefore, be it resolved, after repeated unsuccessful attempts by a board or committee chair to call a member to order, that member may be electronically moved to a waiting room or removed from the meeting. and may be suspended from the board for a designated period of time with a motion at that meeting passed by a majority vote by the Pacifica National Board or Pacifica committees and recorded in the meeting minutes with documentation of the behavior in question. Will somebody move that motion?
I moved.
Who was that?
So moved.
Okay.
Second, Fred.
Excuse me, this is Myla, second.
Okay, Myla seconds. Okay, Zach, would you like to motivate your motion?
Yeah, sure. I think the motion kind of speaks for itself, but I think as I've said before, time management is one of the most important tools for maintaining fairness for everybody to speak and get the work done that we were elected here to do. I think it's essential to keep people of goodwill to serve on this board, and the way these board meetings can devolve into screaming and shouting and intentional disruptions, not by chance, certainly doesn't lead to people wanting to stay and continuing to do this work. So I think members of the board that are unwilling to honor simple requirements of respect and for other people's time, then we have to take this action. Not me, not anyone has the right to waste other people's time. This is in third grade classrooms to Senate hearings. So this motion will help ensure that discussions are actually more efficient. And most of all, we'll just get to the business that we were elected here to do, actually start voting on stuff and not listening to the same people interrupt, disrupt, and repeat themselves. And this should foster, hopefully, a more democratic process where we actually get some things done. And at some point, you start to realize that these constant disruptions from the moment the meetings start till the end is about preventing certain things from happening, whether it's holding people, WBI, accountable, bringing fiscal sanity, reforming undemocratic bylaws. They don't want these things to happen, so they'll bring every meeting down to a standstill, and this will help stop that. So I hope people will support more efficient meetings and more democracy.
Zach, I'm not sure, but I think we're past time.
I'm done.
I was just about to ask Madam Chair, how is this time?
It's a 90 second.
Okay, so, we have just gone over 90 seconds.
I'm done.
Great. Thank you, Zach. So Vanessa, then Fred, then Jim. Vanessa, 90 seconds.
So I absolutely disagree with this motion. If the chair, as I view it, was being even-handed in how members were being treated, and there was some true disruptions as compared to sometimes a member simply requesting a point of order and not being recognized, or requesting a point of information and being called out of order, being called dilatory, just regular parliamentary procedure that's not being observed for certain members, then maybe something like this could be a good idea. But the way this board is carrying on, the leadership is carrying on, I absolutely object. It's just a way to further silence people who have a dissenting voice.
Thank you. Fred?
This has nothing to do with dissent. This has everything to do with actually treating each other with respect. I do want to actually comment about Jack's statement. I don't approve of him calling out WBI specifically. I am adverse to any disruption from any source, anywhere, anytime. I think that we can treat each other with respect and that this will help us get the respect. Equally, I object to Ms. Dixon Briggs calling out the chair and the so-called majority opinion of majority members. I don't think there is a majority members. I think that we are all here with the hopes. I hope we are all here with the hope and plan to bring the network into profitability so it does not go bankrupt. I certainly fully support this. We have had absolutely horrible examples of what happens when we don't have polite behavior among the members here on the call. And so I highly recommend that we vote in favor of this. And I hope that we never have to actually exact this. I really think, is my time up?
No.
Is somebody interrupting me?
Go ahead, Paul.
What?
Yeah, you know, this
Paul,
is,
I'm just, oh, I'm not talking to you.
Great.
Listen, I'm talking to myself, man. Sorry you overheard it. I have a very sensitive mic.
Please, everyone,
don't jump
please,
into it. He's making allegations
please,
against me.
Please mute yourself.
This is allegations.
If you haven't been recognized.
These are
the
allegations
mayor,
he made against
never
me.
Out of order.
Say, all
made
right.
Made allegations.
Paul? So.
Made allegations.
The member has not been recognized. They called the member.
Who made the allegations?
So you are not.
Stop it. This is the second time you people have made false allegations against me.
All right. So, Paul, I am, you are not recognized by the chair to speak.
Go on then with your work.
We cannot.
Don't mention my name unless I'm the subject.
We cannot conduct the essential business.
Then stop it. Then you stop it.
Without being recognized by the chair.
Put a muzzle on your people then.
Fill the timekeeper. Move Paul DiRienzo into the waiting room for the remainder of this item and return only for the vote. And the meeting has now been returned.
Fuck you.
The meeting is now. So will you please?
The member has
chair, point of order. Point of order, Chair.
What timekeeper, have you put Paul in?
Yes, I did say. I'm sorry you didn't hear me.
Did you or not?
He's not.
He is now.
Okay, thank you.
Chair, point of order, please.
Sorry.
Hang on. I need to complete that the secretary will include in the minutes that Paul DiRienzo was removed to the waiting room for the remainder of this item except to vote. And now we will proceed with what's your point of order, Vanessa?
My point of order is that you are doing what we are now voting to consider before it's been voted on.
The vote will retroactively determine whether that is approved. Fred.
Wow.
I'm done. Thank you.
Please take your hand down. Jim.
All right. There's going to be lots of disagreements about policy, and they've been heightened by the actions of the majority in the past month. So the increased friction is what we're seeing. And I object to Paul being taken out. I mean, you know, this is anti-Pacifican, frankly. I mean, they may like to do this in an Alice in Wonderland LSB management, an Orwellian management. This is not proper for this network that is proud of having its traditions of dissent and argumentation. And I take exception to the idea that some are trying to impede debate, whereas people, you know, we have disagreements, very sharp disagreements, and those have been exacerbated by the events of the past month and a half. And that's inevitable in a situation like this. You will have these sharper disagreements, and people will strongly advocate their points of view. To repress them is anti-Pacifican, and I oppose this.
Minerva.
Yes, I want to speak in support of this motion, and the reason that I'm doing so is I came on this board to work with others to get things done for Pacifica. And it seems like when we start these meetings, as soon as they open, then you've got this back and forth. And it does sound like children. It doesn't sound like adults. And a lot of times it's not even on task. It's not dealing with the item that we're speaking about. So I think that if Pacifica is the key, then we all should be on the same page to bring forward something that's going to make the station or the network better, not just back and forth. that we continue to hear. And also, I think everyone's time is valuable, and that also needs to be taken into consideration. We arrive on time, and we conduct the business. Thank you.
Thank you. Paul, you'll be able to vote at the end when we have the vote. Jim, this is your second time to speak. It's 60 seconds.
I get to speak.
No, Paul, you've been put in the way.
Yes, Paul, I do.
Will the timekeeper put Paul in the waiting room?
The member's been moved to the waiting room.
Thank you.
And the member finds a way out of the waiting room.
So, Jim, 60 seconds.
Well, see, this is ridiculous. Like, you should let Paul say what he wants to say. And I really
have to say
that people comparing disagreements to acting like children is a little too much. I mean, you know, one could be rather poignant and pointed about how we see our disagreements with others here, and to be compared to children and infantile is frankly patronizing and beneath the dignity of discussing these serious issues, which have to do with the survival of this network. And that's it. Simple. I mean, you know, repressing Paul is just ridiculous. It's just not acceptable behavior.
Because I'm smarter than them.
Fred, okay. Vanessa, second round.
I call 60 the question. Seconds. You called me.
You don't call the question. Don't call the question, Fred.
Okay. Thank you.
Please. Vanessa, second round, 60 seconds.
Okay. So this just shows to me, the actions of the chair and this supermajority that absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Thank you.
Zach, second round, 60 seconds.
Ward is corrupt.
Just listen to Paul. He proves the point for the need for this motion. What are these people talking about? We're saying people are acting like children. He's literally screaming. He said, fuck you, to the chair directly.
Excuse me.
You are corrupt.
There you go. Listen to it.
So, yes. Thank you.
I don't say because I don't
mean. We will now. Corrupt. Okay. We will now take the vote, Madam Secretary.
Point of information.
The vote is to approve Zach's motion.
Point of information.
What is your point of information, Fred?
Kaja has joined the meeting.
Thank you. Kaja, would you please speak so you can be included in the roll?
Present.
Thank you, Kaja.
Okay, please take the roll, the vote.
All right. So this vote is on Zach's motion on meeting disruptions, Kaja. Irene Adams.
Yes.
Irene votes yes. Teresa Allen.
Allen says yes.
Teresa says yes. Kaja Brown.
Come back to me, please.
Pass. All right. Donna Carter.
No.
Donna says no. Paul DiRienzo.
Board is corrupt.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm not recording a vote for now. I'll put that down as a pass. Jim Dingaman.
Absolutely not.
That's a no. Jim says no. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
No.
Vanessa is a no. Fred Dodsworth?
Yes, thank you.
Fred is a yes. Jan Goodman? Jan? I'll come back around.
Yes.
Jan was a yes. Thank you, Jan. Heather Gray?
No.
Heather's a no. Avalia Jones?
Yes.
Avalia's a yes. Zach Caldvier?
Yes.
Zach's a yes. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Darlene's a yes. Myla Reason?
Yes.
Myla's a yes. Sean Rhodes?
No.
Sean's a no. Minerva Sanders?
Yes.
Minerva's a yes. Harvey Wasserman?
Yes.
Harvey's a yes. Egberto Willis?
Yes.
Egberto's a yes. Let me go back up. Kaja, you passed.
Yes.
Hodges, a yes. Paul DiRanzo.
Taking this to the streets. That's where we're going to decide it.
I'm sorry, sir. I just want to know if it's a yes, a no, an abstention.
Don't, sir, me. All right? I don't like what you people are doing. I'm not going to be participating in this illegitimate, corrupt crap that you people put up as a board. You do nothing.
Paul, you have not been recognized by the chair to speak.
So to vote on them at losing time every time. Why bother? Why bother voting?
There has been, you have been called out of order. Zach, would you please speak up? Are you calling the member to order?
Yes.
I find that well taken. All right. We're moving forward. Would you please read the count?
Yes. I have 12 yeses and 5 noes.
All right.
Background music. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
That background music is the timer telling you it's time.
Thank you, Irene. We do not need a soundtrack, okay? But we appreciate you. All right. The executive director's report.
The executive director report, or the ED report, was sent out to everyone with the agenda and a couple of other pieces of paper. So it should be in people's emails that came from the secretary. But I will read the report that was submitted by Renee Penaloza, the 2024 National Election Supervisor, giving us a delegate election update. The nominations, this is regarding the nominations phase, that was June 1st through June 30th, 2024. The nominations phase for the 2024 Pacifica delegate election has been successfully completed without an extension to the record date or nominations phase. Candidates who met all requirements and who will appear on the ballot can be viewed at the website elections.pacifica.org. The candidates by station and type are as follows. For KPFA, there are 17 listener candidates, 5 staff candidates. KPFK, 24 listener candidates, 5 staff candidates. KPFT, 15 listener candidates, 5 staff candidates. WBAI, 23 listener candidates, 5 staff candidates. WPFW, 11 listener candidates, and 3 staff candidates. Because WPFW staff has the minimum of 3 staff candidates, and if precedent is followed, the WPFW LSB would seat these candidates in the 3 open seats for the staff, and no ballots will be sent to the WPFW staff. Renee continued that, as expected, there was a rush in the last 24 hours before the nominations were closed in order to provide support to last-minute signups. The NES sent an email on July 1st to all nominators and all candidates of KPFK, WBAI, and WPFW, stations where there was at least one candidate that had signed up the day of, had completed their profile, including their statements, FCP, and valid membership, and was only missing signatures. In order to avoid this in the future, Renee said that she would recommend setting a staggered deadline for future elections, potentially one day earlier, for the registration of candidates so that nominators have a chance to see their profiles and cast nominations. The result of the pseudo extension of the nominations phase was that 2 additional WPFW listener candidates made it to the minimum threshold of the petition signatures. Prospective listener candidates who did not meet the minimum of 15 signatures or who were missing other pieces of their nomination package are as follows. There were 3 at KPFK, 3 at KPFA, 2 at KPFK, 0 at KPFT, 3 at WBAI, and 1 at WPFW. 1 KPFK staff candidate was disqualified for not having turned in their candidate statements after multiple reminders. Lists are currently being compiled and cleaned to create voter rolls for the balloting company. Lists were requested for July 1st, 2023 through July 4th, 2024 in order to capture last minute member signups, which may not have been processed over that holiday weekend. This will not cause an issue for the record date of the subsequent election as there is no election in 2025. Listener forums are being coordinated at KPFA August 14th from 11 to 2, KPFK August 12th through 15th from 7 to 9 p.m. And we're reaching out and hoping that the other stations will follow suit. Other updates as far as the FJC and SBA EIDL loan. The paperwork for the SBA EIDL, the Small Business Administration Economic Injury Disaster Loan, needed to be resubmitted as per their request. I've been calling the SBA a couple of times each week and actually speaking with somebody. Some of the original paperwork that was sent in was not on our letterhead, but was on our legal counsel's letterhead, and the SBA got a little confused because the letterheads weren't matching. So I resubmitted all the paperwork. And as I said, I'm speaking with individuals at the SBA 2 to 3 times per week in order to monitor the progress. What we're needing to do is update the loan, the name on the loans to reflect current Pacifica staff rather than the former ED. I'm also checking on the progress of the application for the SBA Hardship Accommodation Plan Program, which we also need to fill out in order to have them remove the lien. We have continued conversations almost weekly with FJC regarding that loan, so we can revise the terms of the loan and remove that lien. FJC will remove the lien on the building once SBA has removed theirs. We are having weekly conversations with the potential buyers of the building. Their legal team is speaking with FJC, so we're having communication on a regular basis. Because we're still waiting for the liens to be removed, the close of escrow is going to be extended by a few weeks. The date has yet to be determined. We just had that conversation yesterday, and I'm just waiting for that paperwork to be sent to me. KPFK and the Archives Department are actively packing their belongings and sorting items that they're going through to be donated or discarded. They're making great progress. I've been at the building once a week for the last few weeks just to kind of look and see what's going on, and they're doing a great job doing that. I know it has not been easy. But all staff will begin working out of the Glendale location on August 1st, which will be just in time to prior to their next fund drive. The archive digitization project, we have been collaborating very closely with the IT staff at the American Archive of Public Broadcasting to provide them with a comprehensive list of all the materials that are in the archives. They provided us with two portable hard drives, and we've been copying all the files that the archives has had on various drives and trying to get it together into one major list that we can share with the American Archive. This involves comparing and combining multiple lists from multiple locations, confirming what has and has not been digitized, cataloged, and also their location within the archives and with the storage. The final list should be probably finished copying on tomorrow or by tomorrow or Monday. They're very large files and they've been taking a lot of time. But again, thank the AAPB for working with us on that and making sure we get those lists cleaned and cataloged. In order to help deal with sorting through the tapes that we have, the Mellon Foundation has agreed to fund two interns from the UCLA Library Science Division that will be assisting with this project. And the first 20,000 pieces of Pacifica archive materials are currently being selected for digitization. We are choosing first materials that are within the building at KPFK, and then we'll be focusing on sorting through everything in the storage facility once those first 20,000 are shipped out. As far as the FCC consent decree, the first compliance report, which is due June 22nd, has been written. It's been vetted by a legal counsel, and it will be submitted prior to the deadline by Pacifica's FCC legal counsel. We've had quite a few requirements that were necessary to be met, and we did meet those, and they are included in the report. One of them was naming and designating Pacifica's a compliance officer for our underwriting laws and sponsorship ID rules compliance plan. So we did that on May 22nd, which was before the deadline. Also, in compliance with the consent decree, the compliance officer needs to be in continuous consultation with our outside FCC regulatory counsel, and we are doing that. We do have conversations with him on a regular basis and also run certain questions that we may receive from programmers that we just want to confirm that we have the correct answers for them. Also, in compliance with the consent decree, we established and implemented operating procedures that cover all covered employees, following to ensure Pacifica's compliance with the underwriting laws and sponsorship ID plan. We also distributed a compliance manual to all covered employees, and in an effort to implement the compliance plan as comprehensively as possible, we were going to distribute it to individuals after they took the training, but in order to make sure that everybody was able to receive it, even if they weren't able to take the training yet, we did distribute the compliance plan materials to all employees and volunteers through the general managers and also to the program directors to distribute. And that way we can make sure that all employees and volunteers who are involved in any way with Pacifica's programming have access to that manual. Also in compliance, we did establish a compliance training program. The first, and I've talked about this before, but the first initial session of the compliance training was conducted live by our FCC attorney on June 4th. And the compliance officer served as the host, and then the FCC counsel was a presenter. This June 4th training was recorded, and then that is what's being presented. And we've had so far more than 40 separate sessions. In June, we were meeting two times a day, every Monday through Friday. We extended the trainings through July, and it's still two times a day, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. And we're not doing the trainings on Wednesdays in order to give our compliance officer time to answer emails and also have meetings with individuals that may be requesting one-on-one training. We just had one of those today. And then also to have any sort of meetings that we need to have with our compliance, with our FCC attorney. We've had so far over 500 individuals trained. We have approximately 940 employees that need to go through the training. And the training consists of, as again, the recorded session, and then we have live Q&A at the end of the presentation. And the FCC is aware that we have not trained all 900 employees, but they were also kind of unaware that we had 900 employees, and more of them just kind of keep popping up as we have production groups that maybe a program has one producer, but they have a collaborative of, you know, 5, 10, or 15 people that work on that program. So we're trying to get through all, you know, everybody obviously individually as well. But we are very confident that all covered employees have participated in the compliance training program, and we'll be just getting those few stragglers that are part of those larger groups that will go through the training. We've also, as I said, scheduled additional compliance training program for anybody that needs something individually or one-on-one, including any follow-up questions that they may have. And we're also scheduling additional Spanish language only sessions. We've had the video presentation translated and captions to Spanish. We're working on the compliance manual, which is fairly long, but that being translated as well. And then we are just in the process of securing someone who will be there to translate live the Q&As when those happen. One of the things that has been happening this week is that we have a national programming convention coverage of the, obviously, the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. And it's a collaboration between WBAI and also our Pacifica affiliate stations, WORT in Madison, Wisconsin, and WXRW in Milwaukee. We have teams from those local stations on the ground, and they are talking with individuals. We got press passes for everybody, but they're talking with individuals outside, inside, getting as much convention detail as possible. We have a nightly two-hour broadcast that features live updates, as I said, from both the convention floor and then also action on the ground in the city of Milwaukee. We're having various special guests that are going throughout the programming, and then what we're providing is uploading a two-hour program and various that can be divided up into various segments on AudioPort. And then our stations that are involved in this also using that coverage and airing the coverage is KPFK, KPFT, and WBAI, and then KPFA is also in daily communication with our national production team. And again, they can use the program in its entirety, or they can also pull out clips and segments and edit those into their news segments. We also had Bob Henley was a guest on Democracy Now! Just a little while, just I think yesterday or day before, and Amy Goodman was very generous with her time, and it was a great interview talking about just various political topics, of course, but then also in the show, Amy graciously promoted Pacifica's national convention coverage and also Pacifica Foundation Radio in general. Sponsorships for this program are coming from, are listed here, the American Federation of Government Employees, union healthcare workers, a building service union representation, Transport Workers Union of America, CWA New Jersey, United Steelworkers, New Jersey HPEA, New York Metro Union Postal Union, the Fire Department, EMS Officers Union, and the New York City Organization of Public Service Retirees. So we have received quite a bit of sponsorship funding for this programming, which is allowing us to, again, continue this throughout this week, and then also allow us to continue the programming also during the DNC convention or the DNC as well. And so we'll be introducing when that comes out. Does anybody have any questions?
Sean for the stack.
Sorry, y'all. Jim and then Sean and then Minerva. Jim.
All right. Thank you. First of all, have we actually had fundraising drives based on these new rules in terms of being able to offer thank you gifts? We have demonstrated in practice how this is working concretely in terms of raising money.
Yes, we have had stations that have already been in fund drive during the process of this. And then we have other stations that are starting. Obviously, there's a KPFK starts next month, but we have had stations that are in fund drive with this. And it's not just FCC rules that deal with fund drives, but it's also just in general how they pitch and promote during the regular programming.
So what have been the results?
Yeah, the results are fine. I mean, even people that are taking training, you know, many individuals and a lot of our programmers work for other non-commercial stations as well. And so it's been great to be able to hear from them and say, yeah, this is how you're supposed to do business. So we haven't really, we're making a sort of a living document that's frequently asked questions. And it's really giving a lot of individuals clarity on how we receive our thank you gifts. And it's actually been helpful for to be able to have that those sponsorship spots before programs, because then it can allow individuals to say, you know, for more information is at. And then we're able to provide people's websites and, you know, various support for that. So it actually kind of provides a little bit more information for individuals in their programs.
Well, I should note the on-air donations in New York have collapsed completely. All right, thank you.
Minerva.
You said Sean was after Jim.
I'm sorry. I apologize, Sean. I put you after Minerva. Sean is next.
Okay. Stephanie, in the past you've said that the $5,000 increments to settle the $25,000 fine were paid for May and June. Have they been made for July?
Yes. We
okay,
are
thank you.
Paying them ahead of schedule. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Sean, is that your question or do you have anything more you want to ask?
I just asked it.
Okay. Minerva.
Okay. Stephanie, going back to the NES report, she identified that or in this report, it identified that WPFW has 11 candidates. We only have 10. We do not have 11. So was this report, that information based on the close of the candidates' submissions, or how does that get corrected?
I will bring it up to Renee, and I'm sure that then she will reach out to your station.
Okay.
Yeah, I received this morning.
Okay. And I think we did get a message saying that on the last day that we still needed additional people, but on the last day we did have 9 listener candidates. And once that message went out, then that's where we got the additional 2 people. And if one of them was removed because they didn't get the signatures or the nominators, the 15, let me put it that way, then that's where we're coming up with the number of 10. So if we can get that corrected, I think that would help us keep everything straight as we move forward. And WPFW's programming committee has sent forward information and got the okay from the NES that we will use our LSB show to do a candidate forum. So we're just waiting now to hear from the candidates. But thank you for this report.
Fred.
Yeah, I want to thank Stephanie for being professional and doing such a remarkable job. I love that the sponsorships are up. It really feels good, and it really feels like we have a future, which I have frankly questioned for the last 2 years. I also want to thank Stephanie for working with the various loans that we have. And I really hope that we close the LA deal soon. It's sure been dragging on a long time, but I understand why. And I want to really thank you for all the work you've done in making sure that we are FCC compliant. That really is important. We put all of our stations at risk by breaching those rules. And I think you've done a really good job, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Madam Chair, timekeeper.
Yes.
May I ask, when folks are giving questions to the executive director, is there any time limit on their part of that questioning and clarifying and that sort of thing?
We do not have a policy about it, but I appreciate it that people have been brief.
Yes, they have. Thank you.
And there's not been a limit on, there's not a limit on the ED. Teresa.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Stephanie, I hope that you are asking our election supervisor if she has a plan to specifically not need to call any membership personally in order to make quorum in the election. Our membership lists are just precious, and even if we, I mean, unless you have staff, I think, calling people, but I mean, our politics in this election is everywhere, and I just find it very problematic that anyone that has any political opinions about who they want on the board would be, have access to those lists. Even if we tell them, oh, don't, you know, delete them when you're finished with them, calling, giving their phone numbers out is very problematic for future elections. Thank you. And also for development purposes, if we give out our mailing lists. Thank you. Our lists. Thank you.
Our lists aren't shared.
So let me just make one question or mention, which is you brought up the name of Bob Henley as being on Democracy Now. I'm not sure if everybody knows that he is the interim general manager at WBAI. That may have been announced before, but I wanted to make sure. So anything more for the ED? Okay, bylaws amendment. And this is Teresa who will be addressing this. And let me just make a mention. There's a 6A and a 6B. Teresa, if 6A is adopted, 6B will become moot. Teresa, will you please go ahead and give your motion?
Okay, 6A. As one of the 8 directors who supported initiating the pending law bylaw amendment to change the way that midterm delegate vacancies are filled, I move to postpone consideration of this bylaws amendment to be included in the newly scheduled bylaw amendment notice period with a call for bylaw amendment initiatives to be considered.
Second.
Is there a second?
Fred Dodd, 2 seconds.
Second. Okay. Is there a discussion? Teresa, do you wish to motivate? And then I see Vanessa's got her hand up.
Well, I would, my motivation is I would think that we will be discussing several other bylaws amendments And I would like to have a little bit more discussion on this before we
Vanessa.
Yeah. So my question is, I did not understand that. If she could repeat it, I was looking for, okay. I guess that was the motivation. So could you repeat that?
Okay.
Go ahead.
I move to postpone consideration of this bylaws amendment to be included in the newly scheduled bylaw amendment notice period with a call for bylaw amendment initiatives to be considered.
Vanessa, what's your question answer?
I think so.
Jim?
Well, can you clarify what you mean? In other words, you're talking about postponing the current fractious debate on this one bylaw proposal and then waiting until other bylaw proposals can be added to that, which we know were put forth on May 30th. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, we have a timeline, I believe, several times when bylaws can be submitted. And I'm proposing that we wait until the next period. We could discuss this more at length. I don't know the date offhand.
May I address this, please?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of discussion in emails about how a notice period is designated and whether there are others who want to bring forward bylaw amendments. We would look for people on the board to come forward with a motion about setting a notice period at such time that there were bylaw amendments that folks wanted to consider. At the moment, there are, I believe, two in the governance committee. One is standing up the personnel committee, making it a permanent standing committee, and another is making the elections committee a permanent standing committee. I don't believe that there are any others currently pending. Jim, did that answer your question?
Well, not really, because as you know, I feel that these oppose Article 17, Section 3, Subsection 5, which says specifically that any of these ideas put forth, if they materially and adversely affect the members' rights as to voting or transfer, have to go to another dimension. I should add to those listening that on Sunday in New York, we will have a town hall meeting to discuss this, and we will allow everybody to come talk, including directors. No one's going to be shied away. But I just am a little confused by this, because it sounds to me like we're going to get back to those 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 propositions that caused everybody to go bananas several weeks ago.
Everything is off the table at this time if you support this motion. Donna, then Vanessa.
I just want to briefly support what Jim has said. I find I'm concerned that this constant shifting of plans around bylaws changing is, it's not democratic to keep shifting the story. It's the members' bylaws, not one group of PNB members. So that's my comment.
Okay, Vanessa.
So I guess I just wanted, I did not hear Jim's, what I believe to be Jim's specific question being answered. The 5 or 6 proposed bylaws amendments that were raised on May 30th, are those the additional proposed bylaws that you plan to then roll all of these objectionable bylaws into, since they all should be voted on by the membership since they affect members' rights? So, I've heard you mention two, neither of those two, it was about committees, but specifically to Jim's question, is that the plan to re-raise those half a dozen or so proposed revisions that were discussed, and there was an attempt to vote on them on May 30th.
A point of clarification. There was not an attempt to vote on them May 30th. They were suggested to have a vote on June 6th. That did not happen. At this moment, there are no plans to bring any of those forward unless someone opts to do so. At this time, there are no such plans. Minerva, then Jim.
Excuse me, Chair. For some reason, I cannot raise my hand. So I keep putting a different hand up. And could it be allowed, since I cannot do the exact emoji for raising my hand?
So will you, then do you wish to be after Jim?
You should go before Jim because he's already.
I do whatever you want. I'm just saying I haven't been able to.
Do you wish to, are you asking to speak, Darlene?
Yeah, raising my hand. Yes.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. So thank you for letting me know. Minerva.
Okay.
Then
well, Darlene. Somebody just took it down again.
So Minerva and then Darlene.
Okay. And, I would like to say I support this motion because there has been so much dialogue everywhere regarding the one motion. And then it seems like all of the other motions have been put out there and it's just so much going on. And it, to me, it takes away from really looking at the bylaws. So this would give time for the board to go back and really look at the bylaws and look at it in terms of Pacifica's bylaws, not in terms of what I call name calling and those type things. And maybe we as a group can come up with the information.
Minerva, you just froze.
Information that's needed to help move our bylaws revision.
Oh, okay, Minerva, I think you're freezing from time to time. May we go to Darlene and then Jim for round two of 60 seconds. Darlene.
Okay,
please do.
Thank you.
I'm trying to time myself, always odd. I'd like to point out this, what to me is an astonishing misunderstanding that's been going on for weeks. The 678 bylaws that people are horrified by, that agenda item is to review the settlement discussion as presented by Arthur Schwartz. It is not a vote by whatever on a bunch of bylaws all at once. Thank you very much, Myla. I saw that. A bunch of bylaws all at once. There's one bylaw proposal out there. It's caused a lot of bringing up about what exactly do the bylaws say about the periods in which bylaws can be presented. And my understanding from Teresa is that this is an attempt to take this bylaw back and try to make sure that everybody agrees on the bylaws period of announcement, whatever it's called. So the misunderstanding of what is even going to come up for us is profound. And I'd like to point out, I'm not saying anything is going on, but that agenda item about the settlement to be presented by Arthur Schwartz doesn't seem to be coming up. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Jim, 60 seconds. It's your second round.
Well, first of all, let's go back to what that document on May 30th said. It said that these proposals were already passed on June 6th. So that's number one. Number two.
No, it did not.
Let me know.
No, it did not, Jim. That's just not correct. Okay, Jim, keep speaking, but you are not correct.
That indeed is said there. Secondly, and I have the document itself. So that is number one. That's the first issue. The second issue was followed several days later by termination, put on leave, however you want to interpret it, of the management team in New York. And then it was watered down to another bylaw amendment. So These issues are very important for us to talk about, not to obfuscate. We need full-blown debates about this. Most of our listeners don't give a damn about this stuff, obviously. They only care, and they should, and rightly so, about whether we're going to survive financially, which to me is far more important to argue about. And the Project 2025 issue that I raised quickly, you know, we all know, all of us on this board know about it. They specifically target Pacifica to be 86th with their non-commercial licenses being taken away. Now, that is an objective threat. And I hope that we get beyond simply sort of a Alice in Wonderland attitude about this. Thank you.
Okay, so Jim was the last speaker. We'll go ahead and take the vote. Teresa, would you be kind to repeat the motion?
Okay. I move to postpone consideration of this bylaw amendment to be included in a newly scheduled bylaw amendment notice period with a call for bylaw amendment initiatives to be considered.
All right, Madam Secretary, will you take a vote?
Yes, I will. Irene Adams.
Pass.
Irene passes. Teresa Allen.
Allen says yes.
Allen's a yes. Kodja Brown.
Yes.
Kodja's a yes. Donna Carter.
Pass.
Donna passes. Paul DiRienzo. I'll just keep going. Jim Dingaman?
No, it violates Article 17, Section 3, Number 5.
That's a no for Dingaman. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
No.
Vanessa's a no. Fred Dodsworth?
Yes, thank you.
Fred's a yes. Jan Goodman?
I thought everybody wanted to kill this, and now they're voting no to kill it? Okay, yes.
Jan's a yes. Heather Gray?
No.
Heather's a no. Avalia Jones?
Yes.
Avalia's a yes. Zach Caldvier?
Yes.
Zach's a yes. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Darlene's a yes. Myla Reason?
Yes.
Myla's a yes. Sean Rhodes?
Abstain.
Sean abstains. Minerva Sanders?
Yes.
Minerva's a yes. Harvey Wasserman?
Yes.
Harvey's a yes. Egberto Willis?
Yes.
Egberto's a yes. Let me go back up the top. Irene Adams, you passed?
Yes.
Irene's a yes. Donna Carter, you passed?
No.
Okay. Donna's a no. Paul DiRienzo.
Paul muted.
Not by us.
Paul has muted himself.
Why don't you go ahead and announce the count?
Yeah, I was going to say. Madam Chair, the yeses are 12. The noes are 4, with one abstention.
Okay, so the motion passes.
The motion passes.
We are past the time to move into closed session. Is there a motion to move into closed session?
So moved.
That this was Fred.
Is a second needed?
It's helpful. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll move into closed session. I will.